Hi, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I'm the host of the Sports Psychology Hour. It's a radio show here in Kansas City that airs every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on 810WHB.com. I've been on the radio for 33 years here in Kansas City. I'm in my 43rd year of work as a sports psychologist. And over the past few years, in addition to our radio show, we've now launched the Sports Psychology Hour as a podcast, now via live stream. So go to my website, which is winnersunlimited.com. Click on the podcast tab. You can listen to all kinds of episodes of my show. I've got dozens and dozens, about close to 8 to 10 years of podcasts on there. That's winnersunlimited.com. I'm one of the first trained sports psychologists in the country. I've been doing this for 43 years, as I said. And I love doing this show. We do this show, this Facebook Live show, because I want to talk to people about sports, youth sports, and the wild, crazy stuff that goes on. And I've got a guy on tonight who's going to be great. His name's VJ Stanley. He's the founder of FrozenShorts.com. He's the author of Stop the Tsunami in Youth Sports. So, VJ, thanks for joining us tonight. I'm really excited for you to be here.
Thanks for having me. Let's have some fun.
Well, we're the same age. So, we grew up back in the 60s. And when I played youth sports, we grew up to the grade school around the corner from my house, played football and baseball. I had the wraparound driveway. We played basketball. There weren't all these organized teams going starting at 4 and 5 and 6. I remember in sixth grade, a couple of my friends started playing 3 and 2 baseball. That was the first year they could really play it in sixth grade. So we were about, what, we were about 11, 12 years old at that time. Now you've got organized sports at 4 and 5. The burnout rate at 12 and 13 is enormous. Kids are quitting, they're stopping. Why?
70%.
Yeah, why? Why? Because of the craziness that's going on. We're seeing now, I've been talking about this forever on my show. Specialization, youth specialization is crazy because it results in burnout, results in physical injuries. And now we're seeing all these baseball pitchers in the major leagues having Tommy John surgery, having shoulder issues. Why? Because they've played baseball year round, they've been pitching year round, and they're worn out. Okay. And why is that? Well, because their dads are saying, hey, you're going to take extra pitching lessons all year round. When summer baseball is over, you're doing fall training, fall ball. And over the winter, you're going to do a trainer and work nonstop on that. And they're blowing their shoulders out. Do you agree or disagree with all that?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly right. But there's another, as I like to say, one more, take it one more step further. Max velocity is now the thing. They have pitching guns, radar guns for 10-year-olds. I've seen, I mean, we've worked with over 10,000 kids. Our other company is called Balanced Excellence. It's balance, not specialization. If you go to the doctor and you have a cold, he doesn't send you to a specialist. So if you go to a specialist, you expect special results. The idea that throwing as hard as you can and more is better is only driven by money.
No, it's driven because you're going to get the best girl if you throw the ball harder, right? Isn't that it?
Yeah. I was a Division I hockey player. I played second, started second base, All City Catholic in high school, let off, but that didn't get me the girls. The hockey did.
So tell us why you've gotten into what you're doing here, because you're really an advocate of the things I'm talking about. Tell me why you're into this.
Well, it really started it by accident. I was just working with some parents. I'm the one that came up with the phrase joystick coaching, and it was in 2002. I got asked to speak to a private school parent, middle school, and most of the kids, the parents, we're well off, and these kids mostly had good grades, and they were talking about how smart their kids were. And I said, "Well, if they're so smart, then why are we treating them like remote-controlled robots attached to adults' joysticks and egos? Let's not take advantage of the fact they're kids. Let's embrace it." And then someone said, "VJ, you should write a book." And I was the head hockey coach at the University of Rochester at the time, and so I started speaking a little more. And someone from USA Hockey approached me. Someone from USA Basketball, USA Baseball. And I got to tell you, as I saw it and my children were involved in it, I was more and more shocked, not confused, not wondering. Let me tell you a quick story. We were coming back from a tournament in Virginia. We live up in Rochester, New York, half out, 45 minutes from Buffalo. And there were probably 300 kids, Andrew, at the tournament. there were two division. I mean, I scouted after I retired for three different NHL teams. There were three Division I athletes. So every other kid was just there supporting those three kids. That, I mean, the parents, the money, and everything. We drove home, and I told the kids, that's the end. I said, before I drink the Kool-Aid, I even told them, I said, it's not, I said, there is no Santa Claus. Oh, Dad, we know. And I said, no, you don't. I said, there is no Division I scholarship. It's a race that doesn't exist. You're just going to have fun. And true to form, with what you and I are talking about, which you've been advocating for so long, my son had his best year ever playing soccer. All the pressure was gone.
Right. Because it's fun, right?
Yes.
That word fun. Remember that? We used to have fun. I remember my three or four of my friends, we'd go up to the grade school, Mohawk grade school, which is no longer there anymore. But we'd go up there and we'd play 500. You know, we'd play football. We just go up there. There were no adults telling us what to do. And this is in fifth, sixth, seventh grade.
And we didn't want the adults there, by the way. People should know. It's not that they weren't just there. We didn't want them there.
Right. Well, none of ours wanted to come. They weren't interested. Now, everybody's got to go there. They're keeping stats, numbers, and all this stuff. You know, the stat book at these games. Okay.
They do clocks now, Ed, for how much basketball time they're on. I'm working with athletic directors. I've worked with superintendents. They're parents that clock the amount of time on the basketball court their kids get at second grade.
Okay.
By all means, people, keep going. It's really working out well for you.
My book that I co-wrote with Jeff Montgomery, Kansas City Hall of Fame closer, and Peter Malone, who's in the Hall of Fame for swimming, one of the top swim coaches in this country. I work with both of them. And they each coached each of my sons, which is why I had them write the book. The book's called Just Let Them Play, Guiding Parents, Coaches, and Athletes Through Youth Sports. We talk in there. The third chapter is called Embracing Failure Can Lead to Fun. Okay. People today don't want to fail. They don't want to lose. They got to come on top. They got to be first. We got to win. Because if you don't win, you're not going to get anywhere. Okay. So let's talk about, you've written books. You speak on this stuff all the time. You've got all this wealth of experience. What do we do to change it? Because, let's face it. What's the bottom line issue here? Money, right? It's all about money. People are making money on these kids. Uniforms, trophies, rewards, travel tournaments, the whole thing. There's all this money out there. Some people said, hey, we can make a lot of money here. So what are they doing? Putting on tournaments. Oh, by the way, here are the uniforms you have to buy. Oh, by the way, here are the trophies you get. And here are fees, right? And so what do we do to change this now? Because the burnout rate, like, is 70% by age 12. Kids are quitting. The fun is gone. They don't want to play anymore. So what do we need to do?
All right. People aren't going to like this one.
I will.
This, yeah, this is true. I told my wife before I came on, I said, this is the guy I can really be bluntly honest with, and he's not going to stop me. I said, honey, we've got the guy. I like to say it's a simple solution. It's just not easy. It has to start at the schools. This nonsense where parents can go over the coach's head to the athletic director, to the school board, to the school president, and shame these coaches and get them to quit and pressure them and buy them. I can tell you hockey and baseball stories over and over where I'm speaking, where these incidents are happening. First and foremost, you've got to stop reading in kindergarten with forced reading. It has to be fun. Let the kids bring their own books. And people don't talk about this. They go, oh, we need to talk about sports. No, you're missing the whole point of the base of the kid, his growth. And by the way, kids, no kids are equal. No kids are the same. So stop treating them the same. They learn at different spots. They learn at different ages. They learn different ways. So you let them read. In Finland, they don't get them pre-prosed reading until they're 7. And they found that the kids that read what they want fly past the kids at 10 that are forced to read. That's the very first thing. Stop this forced reading. Second thing is, what the heck are you doing testing kindergartens in gym? Okay. Oh, wait a minute. We don't call it gym anymore. No, you don't call it gym anymore. We still call it gym. It's not physical education. It's gym, which is short for play. let them play. Throw the ball out, make sure nobody gets hurt, one for safety, and let them play. Next thing is, stop this nonsense at recess where we take – oh, wait, one more thing about gym. We're only going to do it 2 days a week. So what we're going to do is make 6-, 7-, and 8-year-olds sit in a chair and face the front of the room for 7 hours a day, because little kids aren't active at all. This is just a phenomenal thing for them to do for their mental and physical well health. Force them to sit in a chair and do rope. Then once you do that, get them physical or gym every day. Recess is physical. After school activities, we call it EPUT. We have a 20-point program for youth sports coaches in high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools. Once you do that, then you get these kids to play. And we call it EPUT, equal play under 10. You have to teach them the love of the game. What we're doing, it's like giving someone a head start in a race. Like you're taking a Kentucky Derby horse just for the view and putting him 6 lengths ahead. The only thing is the kid at 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 may have lucked out with a little bit of advanced coordination. But now what you do and what you talk about, which is outstanding, is you tell these people, no, no, we all have to just relax and let the kids play. Because what happens, they start to put value on play. And once you do that, it stops being play, it becomes performance, which is just unbelievable that you're letting a child perform. These little kids that do the little tiny girls at the beauty pageants. Then the next thing is you have to stop the parents yelling during games, period. Once they yell, they're gone.
You are so on. I want to show you a picture. This is my almost 7-month-old granddaughter.
Well, he needs a personal trainer.
This is my almost 7-month-old granddaughter. This is part of my big incentive for doing this right now.
She's
my
adorable.
Son right there.
My God, she's so cute.
Yeah, she is.
I'm assuming that's her dad.
That's my son. Yeah, that's
her. Yeah, dad. Let me just say something quick to your son, because after I retired from coaching, was a professional stand-up comedy. You think it's all fun and games right now, but when she's 13 years old, walking down the hallway in middle school, and that little boy walks by her and he loses his mind, you're going to hope that Smith and Wesson still is around.
Yeah. Well, I've got two sons. This is the one that has a child so far, and he gets it because he's lived this whole thing through me. So let me ask you something here. So one of the big things that I do with in my practice, and I work with athletes all over the country, actually out of the country, because with these podcasts now, I'm getting people contacting me from all over the place. One of the big issues is the lack of coaching education about mental health. And, you know, we're talking about parents, but I get kids that come in who are cursed at, physically threatened, challenged by coaches in middle school. I had a young man today who is an incredible runner. He's in eighth grade, seventh grade. He's already won all these awards for how fast he is. He's on his middle school track team. He was sick last week, so he didn't go to practice, left the coach a message, came back the next day. The coach says, "You got to run extra because you weren't here yesterday." Okay. And this young man said, "Coach, sorry, it's not happening. I'm not going to ruin my legs because I was sick yesterday." I get kids that come in my office who are verbally and have been physically abused by these coaches. I think one of the things that we have to do, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is educate coaches on mental health. Educate, you know, it shouldn't be about winning in fourth grade. It should be about learning skills, having fun, and developing. And berating kids, insulting them, degrading them because they lost or screwed up, calling their names, cursing at them. What is accomplished from that, from your perspective?
Nothing. Let me take it one, two, three steps. First, nobody knows how to win a game. Jerry Jones has said publicly he'll do it, write an open check to win another Super Bowl. He built a $2 billion stadium for himself, and he doesn't know how to win. He can't win. So it's all about the journey. We've got to start teaching that the journey will lead to the victories.
Well, let me interrupt you real quick. I'm in Kansas City. So this team, the Chiefs, lost forever. Now they have a coach who I've never met, in Andy Reid, who I think understands that process. He's a coach's coach. The players, when I listen, I've worked with several players, and they'll talk about him, that he cares about them as people. And that's one of the things I think why this team has succeeded, because the coaching staff, and I know a couple of the coaches, I've talked to them extensively, they care about the players as players. I mean, not all of them, but most of them. And so I think that's when you talk about Jerry Jones, why they're failing there. You take a situation here where they're doing so well. A lot of it's mindset. A lot of treating, you know, I've never met Patrick Mahomes, but when you listen to this young man talk, he is grounded. You know, the players get along great with him. They love him. He respects him. He treats everybody as the same. And I think that's when you have people like that. You know, he grew up with a baseball dad and was exposed to this stuff at an early age. Obviously, he's physically gifted more than most of us are. But at the same time, I think mentally he gets it. And that's also when you listen to someone like Andy Reid, they coach. They don't berate. You know, I've seen so many coaches over my career who scream and yell and degrade players. What's accomplished by that? When somebody drops a pass, oh, I dropped it on purpose, coach, to piss you off? No, right? I mean, this is where, and this goes down to the younger levels.
All right, so
go on.
Let's get really down to the heart of the matter. If I'm correct, and I am, nobody knows how to win a game. And it is about the journey. And listen, I was head coach at college for 21 years. We never once told our players we had to win a game. So, and I've talked with NHL coaches, division, all coaches. You ask them, they'll say, and I call it the Tiger Woods. He wants to be in the hunt on the back nine in Augusta. They want to put themselves in a position to win the championship. But 75% of coaching, 75% of coaching is about relationships. And let me explain that to your viewers. I'm my father's son, and I'm my brother's brother. That's called the reciprocal truth. There's no way in that triangle that there isn't a truth. However, where there is where there's lightning, there is electricity. When there's electricity, there isn't lightning, a non-reciprocal truth. These people have confused trust and respect. Trust is a reciprocal truth, and it's way more important. You don't respect the game. You don't. So what happens is they're under pressure outside from the organization, which is this program that we have, and that they don't get it, that you cannot force a victory. And I'm going to be really blunt with you people. How many times as a coach, if you shortened the bench and lost, you're losing every single player on that team that didn't play because he or she now knows it doesn't matter what he or she does, you're not going to play him. So let me ask you this. At work, do you have somebody yelling at you? When your kid's taking an exam, is the teacher yelling? Is the dad outside going, it was B? I mean, I did this for a presentation, USA Hockey. It's now a national commercial. The idea that we can force a child, we're the only species that have children, that have offspring that need to be attached to us when they're out of the womb and born. So there is an inherent trust there. And we are blitzing that trust by saying it's performance. And I'm going to tell you why they're doing it is because they don't want to lose their place in line, Andrew. They're so fearful. This whole U sports thing is based on fear now. High school based on fear. If you miss the practice, this is what you said about the kid. Everything is fear and nobody is willing to say no. And you and I say no.
You're hitting it right on the head, VJ. And I agree with you 100%. And this comes back to, I have a lot of sayings that I use. One is, a good coach is a good psychologist, a bad coach is a sports psychologist. Good coaches are good communicators. Great coaches are good listeners. A great coach takes the time to understand the kids that are on his team. Why are you on my team? He's the high school basketball team. Why are you here? Well, I love basketball. Why are you here? I want a scholarship. Why are you here? Because my parents are making me be here. Why are you here? Because the girls like it when they see me in shorts. Whatever it might be. Okay, but a coach is going to get to know why they're there. A coach is going to take the time to understand. And then when somebody screws up, okay, the effort's there, but they screw up. You don't berate them. You don't degrade them. You don't cuss them out. You talk to them, hey, we're going to work on this in practice to help you figure out what went on there. Degrading somebody. Now, if somebody's misbehaving, that's a whole different deal. We're not talking about that. But what we're talking about here is when you're playing – I've seen it when my kids were growing up. I've shared this story many times with my youngest son, Gregory, was about 11. We're playing youth baseball, rec baseball, not competition. It's rec baseball. The team in front of us is playing. Young man gets a second. It was the middle of July, 110 degrees here. Middle of the afternoon on Sunday. Young man gets a second. Coach is telling him to steal a third. He trips over his own feet, takes two steps, falls on his face. The coach in the dugout turns around. We were sitting 5 feet behind the fence. Kicks the fence. The helmets and the bats fall off the rack. Takes his hat, slams it down. Young man comes in the dugout, grabs him by his neck and throws him against the fence. I'm sitting right behind. I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He goes, "F you," and drops the kid. At which point, the first base coach comes in and grabs him. "What are you doing?" This kid's on the ground crying, and they're sitting there struggling. I'm like, when this young man was a sophomore in high school, his dad brought him to me. Said, "I should have brought him that day." He goes, the young man at this point, he was about 6'2", real athletic looking kid. He said, "Dr. Jacobs, ever since that day, I've had no confidence. I'm scared."
You think?
Yeah. Well, we worked through it. Took a couple months, but we worked through it. And he was able to move on because he was a smart kid and he had wonderful parents. But that issue was still, why would you do that? Because as a coach, you're insecure, right?
Yeah. Let me give you an example. And now I'm a college coach, but I'm also the youngest high school coach in the history of Monroe County, 23.
Which is where, New York?
Yes, upstate New York. So as a college coach, at home and on the road, we had two locker rooms. The second locker room, Andrew, was used only for me in between periods to talk to the guys alone, away from the team, alone, away from the team, in a calm voice.
Individual.
About what they should or shouldn't. We never yelled at the kids on the ice. We never yelled at them when they came back on the bench. Because again, this is where we're supposed to be training them life skills. So what you're saying then, when you yell at that kid, that it's okay for your boss to yell at you at work. Well, no, it's not. So what you're doing is just repeating it. And what we've gotten to the point with coaching is, I call it, it's called TV coaching. Whatever they see on TV, I worked with a very well-known, nationally known high school basketball coach. This is what he said to me after I was watching one of his practices. Why did he do that? That's what Kobe Bryant does. Look, let me make it also perfectly clear. There is nothing a professional athlete does, nothing that has any bearing on your son or daughter playing a sport. Nothing. They're genetic freaks. That's why we pay to watch them play. You play for fun. The more fun you have, the better you get. The better you get, then hopefully the better you will enjoy and help others around you. We had a saying in our locker room: you can't be my best player unless you take pure total joy in the success of others. You don't have to lead from front. You can always lead by support.
Okay, so VJ, what do we do? What do we do?
It's got to start in the schools, Andrew. I mean, that's where they spend 7 hours a day. What we're trying to do is, I call it acupuncture. We're trying to fix it. You and I, everybody, we're trying to fix it, but we don't have the support. So what it would be like is, you go into work all day, and let's just say and I'm just using an example. You're not a sports psychologist. You're not a famous sports psychologist. So you have all these famous patients. You're a struggling intern, and you go all day. And during that day, every day at the hospital, the clinic, wherever you are, somebody is criticizing you. Somebody is giving you instructions. Someone is telling you what to do. Some adult power figure, authority, I don't use the word authority, power figure, is critiquing what you're doing. 75% of these kids' waking moments is filled with instruction, correction, and non-positive. Okay, the brain fires the synapses. It's six times as likely when they fire that you will have a negative thought. We, in our program, we tell the coaches, you have to say 7 positive to 1 negative to overcome that.
Research, I always say this, research says for the normal person, it takes 12 positives to overcome 1 negative. So when you say I can't do it, you have to say I can do it, 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 I can do it. I can do that with one breath because I've been on the radio. The fact of the matter is, but for athletes, I say it maybe not be 12, maybe 6 or 7, like you said, but competitive athletes. So it has to start in the schools. We're talking about education, educating coaches and teachers about success and failure, winning and losing. I have a Super Bowl jersey in my office from one of the Chiefs players I've worked with. And he has on there FOE. And that's something that he and I work on. Focus on effort. I call it FO versus FOR. FR is focus on results. When he goes out to perform, his concentration, how can I do my best right here? It's not about winning or losing. It's about how do I do my best? If I succeed, great. If I don't, why didn't I succeed and how can I get better? That's why he's been so successful, because he's taken that mindset and he's applied it to what he does. That's what I've done for years with Olympic teams, pro teams, all these people. One person, just an example. So I worked for 20 years with Tom Gordon, who pitched in the major leagues, had the major league record 54 saves in a row. Thomas has two sons who played. D. Gordon played for the Marlins for a while. His younger son, Nick's playing for the Marlins right now. D. Gordon won the batting title and the stolen base title when he played. And Thomas had 54 saves in a row. Our focus was one game at a time, one inning at a time, one batter at a time, one pitch at a time, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay? That was his approach. It was just the next pitch. If he gave up a hit, he gave up a hit. He focused on the next pitch. That's why he was so successful, because his mindset was on his effort. And I think if we can go down to the lower levels instead, and look, failure is going to happen, right? You're going to fail, you're going to lose, you're going to screw up. But that's okay, because that's life. But if you degrade kids and insult them and cut them down because of that, what does that do for them, VJ?
Yeah, we say, we use, it's picayune, but we don't use the word failure in all our present. It's failing. There's a huge, people have somehow or another twisted the word failure into being a personal thing. So we just say, okay, and this is youth sports in a nutshell. Play, fail, play some more, fail, succeed, have fun, have more fun, repeat. See, I'll tell you what, with next time you talk to Mr. Montgomery, I would like you to ask him this question, because I've done it. And when I break it down with these guys, nobody knows how to throw a strike, because nobody would be able to walk a guy with the bases loaded in the World Series if everybody knew how to throw a strike. So what you have to do is put yourself in a position, because once that ball leaves your hand, like I work with a bunch of high school and JV, well, middle school coaches, they're calling pitches, Andrew. The kid only has two pitches. So I said to him, I said, what about the relationship between the catcher and the pitcher? Don't you think, because that's what you really do, get the guy in a position to relax. Like, we never did a rah-rah speech. You get Montgomery and Gordon, these guys, in a position to relax. Once you're relaxed, that's when you do your best. It's not football for 10 seconds and you smash somebody guy in the head. It's youth sports. Let them feel good about themselves. And you can still have accountability, but no one knows how to make a free throw. Why would somebody miss a free throw if everybody knew how to make a free throw? It just goes on. Patrick Mahomes, he does not know how to complete a pass 100% of the time. Montgomery doesn't know how to throw a strike 100% of the time. So look, a Hall of Fame player gets out 7 out of 10. So we're missing. What you have said all along is we're trying to be this result orientated, because like I said, testing kindergartens, because we want to quantify talent, and you can't. Coaching is an art form. It is not a science. Nobody should coach 10-year-olds without talking to the gym teacher of that age group to find out what it is that makes these. Do you know a 9-year-old cannot see a ball coming at him properly, or her, at 50 miles an hour? Their eyes haven't developed enough. What are you doing here, people? We were working with a youth organization. They were throwing pitches and changeups to 10-year-olds. So I got them to put on their, like throwing darts from their knees. The team's batting average went from 200 to 400 in 3 weeks.
So I'm going to give you, as we wrap things up, you and I can talk forever on this stuff. I'm going to give you the example of exactly what you just said, why it works. 1993, Toronto Blue Jays are in the World Series. Game five, or let's see, game six, excuse me. They're losing 5-3. I believe it's to the Mets, if I remember correctly. Anyway, they're losing 5-3. It's in Toronto. It's the bottom of the ninth. There are two guys on. The guy that's up at bat makes an out. The guy in the on-deck circle is Joe Carter. I know Joe. I've had him on my show. And I asked him, what was going on in your mind when you're in the on-deck circle? He said, Andy, I'm sitting here, and I'm looking around, and everybody's cheering. Everybody's happy. And I'm like, man, this is fun. This is what I grew up thinking about. It's the bottom of the ninth. It's the World Series. I'm coming up. There's two guys on and two guys out, and we're down by two. I'm going to swing the bat and see what happens. And on a 2-2 pitch, home run, Blue Jays win the World Series. Joe's told me, he goes, I'm going to Toronto. I don't have to buy anything. Still to this day, what is that? Almost 30 years later, 31 years later, because he was just having fun. And what does he do? He hits the game-winning home run in the World Series because he was having fun. That's what it all comes down to. So if we can start to educate people, that's where you say in the schools and with these youth sport leagues, with these coaches, to get them to understand all of this, it's going to make a big difference on these kids' lives. And then maybe they'll start having more fun and the burnout rate won't be 70% at age 12 anymore.
Can I give you one quick story before we go?
Sure, go ahead.
We're coaching in the court. We're playing in the quarterfinals. The arena's packed.
It's hockey.
Hockey, college hockey. We're down 1-0 after the first period. Come into the locker room and quick aside. Don't talk to the players after a game. They fear the ride home, you sports coaches and parents. Unless the kid brings it up, you don't bring it up. Say, I love you, and I love you, and that's it.
So I'm proud of you.
Yeah. And I come in, and their heads are down. And I go, holy. And I have my assistant coach bring a fire extinguisher with him. And, of course, the players are looking at him. I said, nobody take off their skates. This is I don't know how much you know about hockey, but there was a time where there were wooden and then graphite sticks. I said, nobody take their skates off. Nobody touch their sticks. Nobody move. I've already called the hazmat people. I've called the fire department. We've got a fire extinguisher right here. Now I've got them. I own them. They have no idea. They've forgotten all about the first period. They forgot everything. They're concentrating on this. And I'm not yelling at them. And I go, you guys are holding the sticks so tight. I fear the graphite will hit the floor. The wooden chips will hit the floor. The skates will hit that. And this whole thing is going to go up in smoke. I said, oh, my God, please tell me that you didn't have any fun that period. Just please. It's because this is what's happening. We outshot them 20-1 in the next period. When we were coming off the ice, they stopped them coming off the bench, and I said, look at our end of the ice. He said, they don't even have to Zamboni it. Once you relax them, once you get them, that's when you get performance. And relaxing means they're having fun for them, not you.
You said it all, my friend. Excellent. Listen, we're going to have you back on again. This has been great. Of course, you
thanks
and I can probably talk. We can talk for hours about this stuff, obviously. People want to get a hold of you, VJ. How do they reach you?
Our website, Frozen Shorts, is the parent company. BalancedExcellence.com is our website. VJ@FrozenShorts.com. I answer all my emails. Unless you're like the one yesterday, they're not playing the JV team. They're not playing all the kids. And what should I do about it to a parent? I said, well, your kid's the one not playing, right? So if you're going to do that, you're going to get what I'm giving Andrew. You're going to get full blunt honesty. Because this thing where we keep saying, oh, no, don't hurt the kids' feelings. Wait till they're, let them dream. No, you're an adult. You're not their friend. You're not their coach. My office phone number is 585-743-1020. VJ@FrozenShorts.com, BalanceExcellence.com. Well, and by the way, listen more to this guy, right? Don't listen to the head of youth sports organizations that are involved in a $40 million a year industry. Listen to this guy.
Thank you. Thanks for being on. You're going to come on again. I love this. This is awesome. If you liked our conversation tonight, go to my website, winnersunlimited.com. Click on the podcast tab. You can listen to episodes of this show. The VJ show will be on here within a day. And I'm going to have him back on again. And listen, my radio show is every Sunday morning, 7, 8 Central Time, 810WHB.com. Tune in. It's a call-in show. You can call in, ask questions. You can always get a hold of me at my website, winnersunlimited.com. Thanks a lot and have a great week.